What's up, everyone? This is Ray Baguio, and you're listening to Digitally Matters, a podcast for anything digital that really matters to you and your business. Let's start the show. See, by the way, what have you been up to recently? Are you still into the training stuff or handling client projects?
Both.
Oh.
Kaya I've been very busy because I just concluded hindi naman concluded, but it's more of I concluded the training part, the teaching part. So now in the ICT, they are already on the campaign, which is their hands-on experience, kumbaga. Kaya I don't lecture anymore. I just have to check their tasks. Tapos, the other thing is the non-profit social media that I'm doing for the non-profit. Ano siya? It's for IOM, the Tayo Alerto social media campaign. It's an awareness campaign for the Barm region. So that is very challenging and is still ongoing.
Okay. Is this like a client of yours, or is this some like a collaboration or partnership with that organization?
No, it's a client. It's a client. See, so our client for this one is IOM. So that is International Organization for Migration. I believe it's still under United Nations, but it focuses on safe migration.
Also, this is like international brand or organization, right?
Yes.
This is outside.
Yeah, it is.
So I
which means diba, pag ganyan,
I'd like to think your clients are of the same caliber or the same budget or niche. Hindi naman.
So this is one of the bigger clients we were lucky enough to get. I think because malaming ganyan ngayon, diba, because of COVID. So there's a lot of products going to Mindanao also.
Okay, so you're not targeting any niche when looking for prospects or onboarding clients. Do you have any like industry you target?
Not really. But what's surprising is lately I've been getting a lot of clients similar to this, nonprofit. Yeah. I think it's because of my background. So I also spent years volunteering for different organizations. Mm-hmm. And then this specific consultant under IOM, I've already worked with her before when I volunteered for MTV Exit. So that is, their campaign is still on human trafficking. So they held concerts. They needed a contact in Davao, and I helped organize that concert. And then since I'm also connected with advocacies for the environment, so climate reality leader din ako. So we were also able to pick up a client that's connected to alternative energy sources. So it's interesting. I think I'm becoming more attractive for this specific industry.
Did you do something with your marketing strategy or outreach that or messaging perhaps or branding that did you tweak something that somehow attracted these types of businesses or organizations?
I think I didn't exactly tweak anything, but I did update my website just last year, and that's when I really listed down, because back then it was just on LinkedIn. When I updated my website, that's when I really added all of my volunteer work, all of the clients that I also worked with before, and I think that's where they saw my background.
Could it be possible because of the volunteer works that you shared, you updated your website with? Could it be possible that that's the reason why?
Yes, I think so, because what's surprising is that I actually stopped updating my blog, and that's when the inquiries started coming in. So I should remember to also update.
Okay.
I should remember to go back to creating content.
So is that you saying that between LinkedIn and your blog, what's the domain name again of your blog or the web address?
JessicaMadraza.com.
Oh, okay. Just your name. Okay. Yeah. So is it safe to say that your blog or your website is attracting more traffic or prospects or leads for you than LinkedIn, or not really?
I think lately it's been getting more clients. It's even getting more than my company site, which is caffeinerobot.com. Yeah, I've been getting more inquiries on my personal site. I think it's because clients right now, they're really looking for people instead of companies.
Yeah.
Yeah, or even if they hire a company, they just really want to learn about the person behind it. I think that's probably one of the reasons.
So, okay, this is actually interesting for me because some would say, of course, every brand these days already knows or have been told that if you want to be successful online, you need to have at least like an online presence. It need not, or if you really have the budget, you should invest on having your own owned media or platform, which is your website, right?
Yeah.
Or a personal website. Yes. And between a business website and a personal website, this might be outdated. This thinking might be outdated, but some would think that if you are running a business, then it's logical for you to promote or go big on your business website, right? But in your case, this shows a different approach or different result. So what do you think? What would you suggest if I'm a business owner and I already have a business website, but I also, or probably I don't have a personal website yet, would you suggest that I would create one or what?
What's strange is that I didn't actually design my site to get clients. It actually wasn't a marketing site. The only reason why I created the site in the first place was because I felt like the company needed a face. They needed to know who was behind it. So it was more for awareness, just for presence. And then I also needed a platform where I can post the things that I write because I'm a writer first. That's my first experience online. And I felt like the company site isn't really the ideal place for my content because I also write a lot of, lifestyle and self-realization posts. So that's why I created that site. But then I mentioned, right, that last year I tweaked it. So I realized that, I really thought that maybe some people would rather hire a person. And, they would want to know, like, in CoffeeBot, we can always say that we're more than just creators we're actually very focused on strategies. But who makes those strategies and what are those strategies?
Yeah.
So that's why I tweaked the site in order to show what exactly we did.
Now you mentioned CoffeeBot.
So yeah, I would recommend. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Regarding your question though, it really depends on the industry. So because we are service providers, gone are the days when it's just outsourcing for me. So if you hire me, if you hire our company, I feel like it's important to acknowledge us as digital marketing experts. So you're not just outsourcing to get something cheaper. We actually have something to offer. So because we're service providers, it's important for clients to acknowledge that there is a person. So these are the people behind the company. If that's the case for you, then I feel like it's also important for you to invest on your online presence as a person or as your team, aside from having a company site.
Okay. So if I let me just try to imagine this. So the clients that you got recently came from your website, your personal website, and then they got you, of course, they get to know more about you and about your company, right? CoffeeBot.
Yes.
Is that the name of the company?
Yeah.
Did I get it right? Okay.
Yes, CoffeeBot.
And then that's the only time they learn about the company itself and your team, but they first learn more about you and know more about your principles, how you do things, how you do stuff. So somehow their decision, is it right to say that their decision of getting to know more about or deciding whether they would like to hire you is based on how they perceived you, based on what they found on your website. Does that make sense?
Lately, yes. Okay. I think that's the case lately.
So it's your personal brand which is attracting more than in this case, I'm not saying your website. I haven't done any research or investigation on your website, but on your data. But in this case, it seems like your personal brand, is giving your business a boost in terms of driving more leads or possible clients for you, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, because you already know, and so probably some people already know that I'm into building communities, and the one that I'm really not really proud of, but I'm really surprised and I'm happy how things are doing. Even if I don't have any direct activity or anything to do with it, I haven't been posting or managing it recently. Pero the website or the group I'm referring to, or the community I'm referring to, is for content creators. I called it Bloggers ng Pinas because it all started with bloggers, and then because of that, because of the influence or probably the attraction or the ang tawag dun, probably the success of what they call influencer marketing. That's the reason why many bloggers are showing up, newbies, and then even the old ones, or not the old ones, in yung mga seasoned na are still us are here, and then some are still active, you know. But in our recent conversation, we already know some of us already know how influencer marketing is very crucial in terms of, you know, awareness, brand awareness for campaigns and all that, because there are a lot of things that you can do online, right? For digital marketing. And then one of which is what we call influencer marketing. But it seems like over the years, parang nagasgas na yung term, and some people would even use it differently or have a different connotation or impression about influencer marketing. I think we had a very interesting idea on how to move forward with, you know, either we call it influencer marketing or we call it something else. Does it still sit well with you, or are you still, is that idea still, what do you call this, interesting for you? Do you still want to push forward for that idea?
Yes, I still want to push forward with that. You remember there was a time as well when it seemed like the term bloggers also had a bad rap.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
Yeah, because of certain people who would, you know, do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And the perception changed. And then eventually, you know, people stopped calling them bloggers. So they suddenly became content creators.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the evolution of the terms that we use to identify people, I think that they're very important, and it usually starts when we notice that there's something wrong with that specific term because of how the industry naturally evolved.
Okay.
Why? So yeah, so I still feel like it's an important evolution to start coming up with different terms for for different industries.
But we're not saying that influencer marketing is not effective, right? We are not saying that influencer marketing is not effective or that it needs to be changed. We are not saying that.
We're not saying that.
Okay. So what are we trying to propose here?
Yeah. What I'm actually saying is that the bad things that are happening whenever people use the term influencer, I think that it's very possible to remove that on new projects when you stop saying the word. Because the bad reputation, it doesn't just come from the businesses who use these influencers. Mm-hmm. So there are, especially the newer influencers who actually think that these are the correct practices, because mm-hmm. those are the things that are being done right now.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So the only way to remove it from their system is to use a different word that they haven't really identified anything bad with. Mm-hmm. And so it's a fresh start. And you can start creating standards for how they should interact or what they should, you know, how they should influence people.
Oh, okay. What type of bad practices have you recently seen those who are calling themselves as influencer marketers are doing or have been doing? What are these bad practices you've noticed?
Give me 1 minute, Ray.
Okay.
Because I think that the dogs will be very noisy in like a few seconds.
It's okay. They want to be.
All right. So, sorry. What are the bad practices that they're doing right now?
Yeah. Some. Just name a few, and probably I can either share my own observation about that.
Okay. First of all, and now proclaiming yourself, self-proclamation is one of the things that I feel is a bad practice. You create a page or you create a YouTube account. You have 10 subscribers and you automatically call yourself an influencer and you start approaching businesses, already charging them a certain fee for your 5 subscribers or for your 700 followers on Instagram. It doesn't work that way. I think because it wasn't explained to them properly. But that's one of the problems that I have, self-proclamation, because there's no industry standard. Right. People are not saying that you need to reach a certain amount before you can call yourself an influencer. Or having a certain number of following already, but actually not being able to influence on a certain level. Mm-hmm. Like, have you heard of the Instagram story about this girl who had a lot of followers?
Yeah.
And when she started selling merch, no one bought anything.
Oh,
because
okay.
She's actually not an influencer. She's just an online celebrity.
Okay.
So I think those two practices really stand out for me. Whereas, you know, someone with a smaller following, but people feel are very honest about what they say and what they share, are more, you can call them... influencers more than, you know, 2 million follower Instagram girl.
Okay. So, to summarize that, para mag-stick sa utak ng those who would want to be an influencer or to be in the influencer marketing practice, is never associate your influencer marketing or the success of influencer marketing to the numbers of likes or followers that you have. Does that sound correct?
Yes, yeah.
So it should
be... Yeah, it still depends on context.
Okay.
Especially, I think a good example that I always tell people is There are vanity stats. Mm-hmm, as digital marketers, we're very careful with vanity stats.
Yes.
So, Victoria's Secret, for example. I'm not sure about a specific brand, but anyways, we know that there are some people who follow that brand not because they intend to buy,
mm-hmm.
but because you know they look very attractive. So
okay, yeah.
There are also some influencers on Instagram, for example, who really like posting photos that men find attractive, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that if she shares a phone there, that will encourage those men to buy that phone, right?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. the context is different.
Yes, I agree. And I think there's a difference. Even if we change the word influencer marketing or even tell people, how to call this? Even if we preach or advocate for the change or a change of mentality towards influencer marketing, I think there would still be people who would go for that because it's an easier route somewhat, right? I mean, some can even buy followers. So there would still be others who would do that, that they will sell themselves as influencers or influencer marketers. Because of the stats that they have, because of the numbers of followers that they have, because of the possible impact, right? The result they can give the brands. But I think this one way of probably changing or not changing, but really updating the idea or the mentality towards influencer marketing is educating the brands as well. If the brands know,
diba?
How do you think should we educate these brands?
And it's not just educating the brands, it's also educating the people who want to become influencers. I think a lot of the real influencers right now, they're not really sharing the fact that they choose their projects. They choose the brands or whatever the people that they promote. They have to be in line with their goals and values and what they believe in. That's why I really respect the influencers who talk about certain projects that they run, because it shows their values and it's really an eye opener for both the brands and people who want to become influencers. So I do follow certain people from different industries, even if I'm not interested in the industry, just because I really like how the influencer creates his her content and how he talks about his passion or his belief in the brands that he uses and she uses and promotes. So if we are trying to educate the brands, they really have to be aware of vanity stats. I think more brands are aware now and they do choose their influencers. It's really more of smaller companies that I feel sad for. They're usually the ones who end up paying influencers who aren't really fit or are actually not effective for their brands.
Okay, being that you're a strategist, and I know you mentioned this before, that if there's something in your team or in that campaign or in that project that you really would love doing, yourself to be hands-on to be hands-on
hands-on on
on tama ba or so to be hands-on on sabi mo it's strategy diba? Creating strategies for the brand for the campaign. Now if let's say I'm a brand and I'm thinking I don't have any idea of influencer marketing, but it some people tell me that it might help me. I'm just a new brand, and then I would like to see if this, what they call influencer marketing, could help me. How would you advise, or what would you advise me to do, or what would you tell me before I even dip myself into that, into that idea of investing into influencers? What suggestions can
you give? My number one suggestion would be to reach out to their current user base first. because these are the people who already know your brand and they know why they're buying your brand. So they actually have the ability to share. You don't need to convince them. You don't need to pay them. They would usually, they're usually willing to share content for you for a product because they love your product. And I think it's really the best deal for me. That's actually where influencer marketing started. That's why brands would send their products to popular people so that those people can try the brand and then talk about it. So you should start with your current user base. And then if you see a trend, if you want to scale it up higher, if you see a trend on the types of people who use your content, that's your brand. That's when you start looking for influencers who match your current users.
Ah, okay. But what if...
Who do they follow?
What if I am just a new brand? Like someone new in the business or in the industry? So I have, let's say, just one or two followers or users or customers. Then would you suggest, would you recommend influencer marketing or this type of approach to be my go-to?
If you're still a small brand, depends. You have a lot of money.
money to waste, to burn.
If you have a lot of money, then if you have a lot of money, then I would recommend hiring influencers, getting different influencers to use your products. But if you don't have money, start with family and friends who might use your product. They're the best anyway because they love you, so they're willing to support you. So start growing your users that way if you don't have money. But if you have the money, experiment with different influencers. See which one works. And then invest more money on that specific influencer afterwards.
I have a follow-up.
Tayo.
I have a follow-up on what you said. On the first suggestion, which is, well, actually they're the same. You start reaching out to your customers first or to those who are using your product or services, or if not, the ones closest to you, right? So that's the general idea. And what if sasabihin ng brand sa'yo, yes, I have the budget. It's just that if I tap into my customers or my clients, or let's say customers lang kasi sir, product siya. If I tap into my customers, what if they don't have that clout? They don't have the number of followers. What if they go that route? Yung brands, I mean, what if wala ganong influence?
No, I would disagree. Because whenever people who are not paid promote something, it only means that they really like it. That's the normal perception. Like, for example, if some artista tries to sell you this whitening soap, but we already know...
Na maputi siya.
Diba? It's for us marketers, we know it's a huge joke. But some people still buy because of that. But it's still different. If you have a neighbor na maitim, and then biglang pumuti, and you ask them, What did you use for your face? Diba? Or if she promoted something and we know na pumuti siya, we really know because we can see because we know her. We know how maitim she was 3 months ago. We will buy. That neighbor will buy if they find out what she is using. Diba? If they have the same need, which is magpaputi. With, of course, we don't agree with that anymore, but it's a pretty good example because it's visual.
So you'll just... Okay, that's interesting. I think I see the logic there. And you'll just support that, the idea na, or the principle na, since their testimonials or testimonies are well-supported, may proof ka, kasi may improvement sa buhay nila, pumuti siya, or tumangkad siya, or something, diba? So, may hatak na siya. Wala ka na kailangang i-prove na this is actually going to work. It's just that you just need to monitor how that can happen and how you can, how do you call this, a guide or make that happen easier for you to track, to monitor, right?
You just need to that's the challenge there, monitoring, because those are, you know, normal people and they will post their content on their private accounts, on their personal accounts. So that's when you create a campaign around it. That's why you run contests. That's why you use hashtags. That's why there are specific examples whenever you're trying to run a campaign. And what's best about that, whenever you use your regular users, aside from not spending so much money because you're just giving them your product, another thing that's good about that is these people are not celebrities. Okay. But everyone wants their fame, right? So
yes.
They would be happy to let you use their content because they want it's normal, diba? It's just normal. Well, not all people, but most people, especially those who will join your campaign, they would want you to share their content because it's, you know, it's fame for them, and then they share it with their friends, they tag their parents on the comments. So that's added reach for
added
you.
Reach. Yes.
Diba? True, that's added engagement. So that's why I really like running those types of campaigns rather than using influencers. We were supposed to do that. I mean, we're going to do that in the current campaign that we're running. So for Tayo Alerto, imagine how difficult it is to run an influencer campaign for human trafficking.
Challenging.
It's really, really challenging. We did try, okay? Client had the budget, wanted to tap different influencers. Now, the problem, what we realized was there weren't a lot of influencers in BARM, and those who, the influencers that were around, they had a very, their material does not match, they are unlikely to share about human trafficking. Because it's usually comedy or gag or travel. So it's really not that ideal. They need to be very creative in order to create content that matches ours. So a lot of them ended up either saying no or jacking up their prices because they obviously don't want to do the campaign. And then the other influencers that we found, our clients said no to because they felt like it was inappropriate. So that was the first attempt at influencer campaigns. And then we realized that, you know, since human trafficking, it's not something that you can predict. It's not like a product.
Yeah.
Where you know who the likely users is. So for this type of campaign, you don't know who might get trafficked. Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
You try to reach as many people as possible. So we went for that route. We went for, you know, just UGCs. We're going to roll out content soon that's very engaging. And we want to encourage people to think. So they're supposed to give their comments, give their opinions, and hopefully that will encourage them to remember the details of how to avoid being trafficked. So we ended up with UGCs. We're trying to get UGCs from normal people, from regular people, not influencers. So hopefully I will have some new material to show you, some new stats to show you soon.
Well, at least the UGCs, they will be, you can be assured that they'll be related to your campaign or aligned to your campaign compared to just giving these influencers, whether they have the millions or thousands of followers, giving them the mechanics of the campaign, and then they will just be left on their own to do whatever, because they will tell you, because these influencers will tell you, I know my audience, I know how when I post, what type of post that works for me, right?
Yes.
So you'll be at the mercy, not the term, but you'll be at the mercy of their own creativity, so to speak, right?
Yes.
And sometimes it can work, but in this case, I'm quite curious now, Tuloy, because you mentioned about this type of, this client of yours. What's the metrics, or what's the, how to call this, the ROI of your campaign, considering that this is a non-profit organization and it's about human trafficking? How does it look like? I mean, I can't imagine. They're not into sales, right? They're not selling anything, are they?
No, no, no. Okay, not,
so
no.
So how do you measure it?
No. In these types of campaigns, mm-hmm. You have your main client, which is the consultant for mm-hmm. for the organization. But there are also donors that you should be trying to please. Okay.
Okay.
And then there are also stakeholders, Ray. Mm-hmm. So they do have focus groups. It wouldn't be effective if the organization didn't have local stakeholders.
Okay.
Because, you know, champagne, the culture is different. So they mm-hmm. would know what the best practices are, what would be interesting. Okay. Uh-huh. So given that there are so many people that you have to report to,
whoa.
And you need to get approvals from, yes. The good thing about this is that their metrics, it's really more on awareness. So it's if we're talking about awareness, yeah, there are the simpler KPIs like video views, mm-hmm. engagements, yes. But we're also very detailed when it comes to reporting the messages that we get, the interactions that happen on the post. Did someone share it? Who was
okay.
that person that they tagged? So, for example, we did have one content that was shared. So, it was some basic tips for safe travel.
Okay.
You know, don't travel at night. Make sure all you have. You not only have your papers, but also take photos of your papers and send it to someone.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that if it gets lost. You
can
still have a digital copy.
Yeah,
you need to know the location of the embassy, so those types of things. So mm-hmm. one person shared it and then tagged another person. And maybe you can tell from the comments that apparently that person was leaving the country mm-hmm. for a job, going to a different country for
okay.
a job. So obviously that is the type of people that we're trying to reach. So we do take screenshots of those. So we
okay.
go through every share, go through every comment and check if this is really appropriate, if we're actually reaching the people that we're trying to reach.
Mm-hmm.
So aside from the basic metrics, those types of things are also not that much required, but, you know, we feel like it would really benefit the organization, the mm-hmm. donors, if they saw the engagement that was happening.
Okay, so you supported these, we usually call vanity metrics, diba? Yung mga like number of shares, number of likes, number of engagements. And
vanity
then you...
metrics are okay if
okay,
you're trying
kila,
to get awareness.
Mm-hmm,
kasi
mm-hmm.
because this is just an awareness campaign. We're not trying to sell anything. If you're trying to sell something, but all you're getting are video views, then obviously there's something wrong.
Yeah.
If your goal is you're already done with your awareness campaign and you're already supposedly on your conversion campaign, hindi vanity metrics na yan. Hindi na yan siya legit KPIs.
Yes. Kasi the past years, I mean, years back, di ba? When we first, parang bago pa lang yung social media marketing and all these online marketing strategies or tactics, these vanity metrics are really parang shiny for brands. And even the reports,
yeah.
diba? I had that moment na the reports would just show the number of likes, the number of hearts or whatnot, not even supporting it with whether they're relevant or not. Whether kaya lumakas yung mga trolls, eh, diba? Na mga farming, mga likes. So kaya lumakas yung ganyan.
Mm.
Pero with what you're doing, based on what you mentioned, is aside from telling them that these people tag these certain people, you also mm-hmm. check whether it's relevant or the people being tagged or the people who shared it and shared it too were relevant people for your campaign and for the brand.
Yes.
So you supported it pa. Hindi lang nag-stop sa ano. Ah, okay, okay. So yun yung siguro
It's not just the reporting from Facebook insights or
mm-hmm.
from your reporting tools. We even stalk sometimes because, like what we said, this specific campaign is targeted for the Barm region.
Mm-hmm.
So what if someone who's not from Warm Region, yeah, they can relate to it, and of course we would want them to see it also, but they're not the target demographic. So we have to check pa, where does this person live? How about the person they tag? Where does he, she live? So if they're not from that region, then we cannot take a screenshot of that because they're not our target demo. We're happy that our content helped them, but our client, they're not exactly targeting that region, so they won't care, right?
Yeah. Pang ano lang sila. Magiging parang panggulo lang sila sa gusto nyo talaga ma-achieve. Gusto ma-achieve ng client.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a good strategy. Kaya there's no wonder why you like strategy or strategy creation or development pala. Kasi you're not just into the how you achieve the numbers and then you're done with that. You actually go through the process of, you know, understanding the brand and then looking for the best way to go about the strategy. Mm-hmm. Because kahit na sabihin na, okay, we want to consider influencer marketing, then you're not just parang inside that box or limitations or what others are doing well. Let's say best practices ang sinasabi ng iba, then you'll just copy what they're doing. You're not just there. I mean, you don't stop from just implementing. Oh, ito yung ginagawa ng iba, and then so we'll spend more on this, diba? So you really make your clients think for their brand, not because of other brands are doing it.
Okay. I feel like, Ray, kasi best practices are great. I also have my own best practices.
Mm-hmm.
But I have acknowledged from experience and age that I have acknowledged that best practices, they are usually the biggest hindrance to creativity.
Oh, do explain,
so they
please.
Stop you from thinking. Diba? Like,
okay,
so we know this is the best practices for influencer marketing. Get someone with really high numbers, contact them, offer them a percentage of every sale, and that's it, right? Mm-hmm. They usually make a video about it. They have to post 5 stories. They need to create 2 images and 1 video. Say, for example, I've done some content for certain brands before. That's usually how they do it. They specify the number of posts that you're supposed to make. Yeah, I was an influencer once. So if that's... if you already saw that...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I did it for... mainly because skincare, kasi rin. So like, this skin... when they reach us, yay, more skincare.
More
anyway,
skincare products. Okay, tapos.
Yeah. So, kita mo, nakalimutan ko na tuloy. Oh, yeah. So, if I already know that the big brands, this is what they're doing, therefore, best practices yan, then I'll stop there. I won't think of other possible strategies that I can use, other people I can use, other types of content that they can make. Diba? Because you already know what the best practices are. Eh. So, if you're starting... and you're still trying to learn, it's okay to go to best practices. But if you're already, experienced like us, I feel like we need to set the bar higher. We need to create our own best. We need to be more creative rather than apply best practices as efficiently as possible. Because we're in the creative field, diba? Even if this is a creative field, even if we're looking at numbers.
True. Now, I'm not sure if this is possible for you to share right now or with me right now. Kasi for strategy development, there are different for every strategist, meron siyang pinafollow na structure or process on how he or she does the development of the strategy for a campaign or for a brand. But in my case, I have a different way of doing it, and somehow it's aligned or it resonates to your principles or how you see things in terms of strategy development. But I would like to know. You can't just share the ano lang yung. You don't have to share the details. But siguro the stages or usual process mo on how you create strategy for, let's say, a campaign. Let's say I'm a new project, and then what do you do first, and then how do you end up, and then before you present it to the client? Do you follow
before
certain...
Before I present it to the client?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. So, given that we're already past the interview phase with the client.
I hired you already, yeah.
Okay. First of all, I dream about the project.
Oh, really? Are you serious? You're not kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding. I usually dream of like new clients that I have to create strategies for. I dream about the project for some reason. But seriously, I talk to the team.
Okay.
I feel like when you talk to people about where you're stuck or what you're trying to achieve, that's usually where the ideas come out. It doesn't have to come from them. It doesn't have to, we don't care where it comes from, basically.
Yes.
But usually, the best ideas, they come out when you're talking about it.
Okay.
So that's really our number one step. And then we are not really the type, our team, we are aware of deadlines, but we know that the ideas don't usually come during the first meeting. So okay. I'm always sleep on it first. Maybe we'll figure out the answers by tomorrow when we discuss again.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes we start making the content already. Because my strategy is usually a mix of organic and then, you know, the high level. Na. So we have like, we have goal content, which is what we have to brainstorm talaga. And then we have the regular content. So once we start making the regular content, I feel like we are forced to put ourselves in the shoes of the brand's target market. So that's why certain ideas come. So for this project, for example, this one for the human trafficking thing, si Tayo Alerto. We were already given content because it's quite a technical project, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
May details talaga, you're supposed to follow these things in order for you to migrate legally. Okay? Mm-hmm. And there's a specific fine if you're an illegal recruiter. So very factual. So we were given the materials already. We were just supposed to convert it into an image or in a video. Mm-hmm. But we were constricted that way. And so we had to storify it, basically. And it wasn't part of the contract anymore. We were just supposed to spread the words that they gave.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have been happy. But for us, parang kulang, we just weren't happy. That won't give them awareness. It's not like they won't remember what they're supposed to do. So that's why we had to come up with something else. That's really, really extra. I think the people, especially if your team is already passionate about the brand, whether this is a nonprofit, or an advocacy or a specific brand, if they're already, kahit hindi nila pa dito ang Japanese food, if we have a client who is a Japanese restaurant, they will end up being passionate for Japanese food. So that's what I look for in my team always. Yeah. Okay. So that's usually work idea. Mahirap siya step by step eh. Kasi you're dealing
kasi
with creatives.
It varies naman depending on the project, right? Kasi agencies or teams or freelancers what they do is meron na silang set na eto social media marketing, and then this is what they do, content creation, videos and all that. You post, you see that on their website, and I believe I can see that on your website as well, right? For Coffee Bot. But in terms of when it comes to ano na parang strategy creation, do you follow kung ano? I mean, when how I do things is nakita ko sa iyo is that you think about it pa eh. Hindi ka limited, sabi mo nga hindi ka nagpapalimit dun sa how people are doing it. But if you see like this client is asking or going for social media marketing, but it seems like based on what they shared with us and what the company wants to achieve, it seems like social media marketing is not going to work for them. It seems like they just need digital newsletters. You leave room for that, diba? Parang sa nakikita ko sa ano mo, okay. Hindi ka parang Facebook ads lang tayo.
We have basic packages.
Okay.
So it's simpler that way. Kasi diba ang hirap rin kung wala kang system for operations. Mm. So we have basic packages. Those are our regular deliverables. And then when we see an opportunity, a certain strategy that we can do, we recommend it. So it's often an add-on.
Mm.
Whenever, it's something that
upsell
we propose.
Na. More on upsell.
Yeah. Okay. Upsell siya because the client also needs to commit it. Because these types of proposals, whenever you're talking about strategy, it usually affects their marketing directly also. You're sort of, it has a power to do that if you're really going for the big ones, the big strategies. It usually affects them. So they need to be on board, not just, you know, with a budget, but with also, you might need them to do something offline. Mm-hmm. You might need them to print stuff.
Yes,
you might
need
them to communicate with their customers differently, diba? Mm-hmm. So that's why I put it as an add-on, because if they're going to hire us just simply for the strategy, you cannot give new strategies every week or every month. It cannot be part of the package.
Bago-bago.
Kaya siya add-on for us.
Have you had any experience with clients who insist on you doing the strategy the way they would want it? I mean, let's say ako, sabihin ko, ano lang tayo ha, ang gusto ko social media marketing, or hindi na social media marketing, influencer marketing, yun ang gusto kong investan natin. Tapos, na-realize mo na parang seems like hindi siya mag-work based on sa gusto niyang ma-achieve. Parang feeling ko, ito yung kailangan. Instead of adding on, have you tried, was there a time na you had to say no to what the client wants and then recommend something else?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time?
A lot of foreign clients, for some reason also, they're not usually fans of social media. They prefer website, SEO, that type of level. Yeah. But they always have to explain to them, if you want sales now, you cannot rely on SEO because it takes a very long time for you to rank and to start selling just because they found you on Google. So I create a compromise usually. So I tell them, why don't we add this on? And then, we can start with this a little, but just a little, so that you can put your budget on ads instead. Because that will generate sales. And then once we reach a certain level, so I tell them, sige, let's, you know, for the compromise, once you reach this amount of sales, then that means we're already, so we can already invest on the other strategy that you want or the other platform that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Locally also, whenever people want websites, whenever businesses want websites, I really talk to them first, because if they're just for example, mom and pop shop or like a salon, for example, people won't go to your website, they'll go to your Facebook page. So if you're going to give me money for me to create a website, I usually tell them, no, it's actually a waste of money if you're going to do that. Invest it instead on social media. You run ads there, you produce ka ba ng video or something. So, lagi, kulang yung sila sa information, or they're sometimes are also misinformed by other people. So that's what usually annoys me. Pag in upsell, it's like when you walk in a restaurant and they just recommend whatever, not exactly what's best for you. So I don't want to do business that way. Na I just want to upsell.
Okay. Well, ano pa yung naisip ko? Bigla akong nawala. Kasi, Kung ano, ano ba yung isip ko? Meron akong dapat itanong i-follow-up na question sa'yo. Ano ba to? Inom mo na ang kape.
Your question kanina was, do clients, ano, or do I say no to clients whenever they ask?
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned kasi, medyo nag-stay ako dun sa, when you mentioned for local or locally, nung na-mention mo yan, naalala ko yung previous mo sinabi sa akin na, most of it, most likely because of the rates, you're not gonna share your rates with us naman. Pero because of the rates of your services, of your team services, most likely ang makaka-afford are, you know, global or siguro yung mga malalaking budget na kung local ka man, malaki yung budget mo. So, what if someone would approach you and interesting naman yung budget niya, the person or the brand really needs help, local siya, but it's just that he doesn't have the budget. I see, or based on what other people are saying, especially not to mention si Dart, sabi niya maganda yung process mo on how you filter, di ba? How you filter clients or prospects, which is actually a good practice din for strategists or consultants like us. So what if hindi mo talaga to niche, hindi mo talaga to target client? What do you do? Do you just say outright no to that person, or do you do something for that person or for that brand?
Ang problema ko, hindi ako naghihinayang like if they can't afford the rates, they can only afford this, right? Hindi ako naghihinayang sa pera. Ang problema ko, Ray, ang awa part. I feel bad for companies sometimes, for businesses whenever they can't afford me, especially if I like them, you know, I like the person, I like the whatever it is they're offering, their service or their product. I really, really feel bad for them. I do different types of things. It depends also on what their budget is.
Okay.
Sometimes I recommend other virtual assistants because ako, I also train.
Train, so
I tell them, if this is just your budget, then I can recommend someone to you. They're just beginners, so don't expect the same. But if you just need someone to do this, then you know they can do it for you. That's one of the things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Another is I do ano naman I only for the ones that I like, Reha, because when we're talking about not your ideal clients, it's not just the budget that we're talking about. It's also their character.
Yes,
so
it's important.
If I like them also, I help out. Anyway, if their business grows, they go to me, right? So,
yeah.
As long as it doesn't take so much of my time, I do give recommendations, you know, the easier strategies that they can also implement. Now, the third thing that I not do yet, pero I plan to do is ano na lang siguro. There are some businesses kasi, there are some businesses na, and even organizations. Sabi ko nga, I got booked again for another talk. They're a local non-profit.
Non-profit na naman.
You know, and tapos, di ba, their advocacy is really good, but they really can't afford me. So I felt really bad. Sabi ko, if more people are coming to me with this problem, with this need, and if I'm the person that they're looking for, I might as well create a coaching program for them. Kasi dumadami na eh. And I feel bad turning them down. When I really want to help, it's just that my time is not enough. So I might as well create it. But I want it systematized. I don't wanna, you know, one-on-one people because we know, diba, na time is really expensive. You can't buy it back. So yun, maybe that's what I plan to do in the coming days. I just need to figure it out.
You need to manage your time. Now, speaking of which, we go to, I'm curious to know about how you manage your time. Because the past weeks, medyo busy ka din, di ba? And hindi lang siguro past weeks. I think you've been busy naman for months. And I would like to know sana, for the lighter topic na, how do you manage your day? I mean, how do you manage your time meron ka bang sinusunod na practice or principle?
The only practice that I do is in the morning. I always have my quiet time. My quiet coffee time is my quiet time. I always start that way. If you asked me a year ago, that would have been quite different because, I have an hour every day, sometimes more than that for workouts. Really, I was so obsessed with working out every single day last year. But now, medyo nag-change my system. I had a burnout kasi. I couldn't work for several months. So after that, I changed. Because I have a bad habit of working all the time. It's my normal state. My normal state is working.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I didn't believe in weekends. I get annoyed because people will not respond to me on weekends because they're
really?
Not working.
Grabe
because I'm always working. Hindi ako nagagalit sa kanila. It's just personally, I think, it's a Saturday. They won't be able to respond to my email. Be patient. Ganyan. But now, I still work on weekends if it's necessary. But I really take time off. So I was able to pick up some hobbies. The plants, the dogs. So I take short refreshers. So if, for example, I work for 2 hours straight, I go out for 15 minutes, I do something else.
Okay.
And then I go back working. I'm usually like that. So kaya ko, I can work long hours. I can work 12 hours. But I take short breaks in between.
Okay.
And I can afford to take 2 hour naps because I work so much, right?
Okay. But do you
I know, but don't follow my system. It's bad. I know. I work too much.
I was about to ask you that. I mean, are you happy with how you're managing your time that way? Like, naka-schedule ba to lahat sa calendar? Or if you feel like, you know what, 2 hours na ako nag-work, parang gusto ko na mag-rest muna. Mag-rest ka. And then, feeling ko, tapos na. Ganun lang maginagawa mo? Parang window-window mo lang yun, no?
I have specific schedules for appointments and my trainings. But after that, you know, you listen to your body lang. If you're tired, then you sleep. If you're not tired, then you work. And lang.
Okay. So, hindi kayong parang blocking your calendar, time blocking or something, your calendar na dapat during this time, you'll be creating something. This time you'll be managing, you'll be communicating.
That's what usually happens during my morning. I already think of what I want to do later or what I want to do the following day.
Okay.
What I want to create. Because my personality is, I also need, di naman plan in detail, but I need to prepare myself for the things that I do. So, like, when I'm supposed to meet people, even if it's socially, I need to prep my mind that you're going to talk to people. You're going to talk to people. If it's just surprise, I need time to adjust. Oh my God, there are so
you
many
get irritated?
People. Supposed to do. Hindi, I get anxious and then I don't know na how to interact. So I need to, kailangan ko ng mindset.
So psych up mo sarili mo na, okay, ikaw pupunta ka, kakausapin mo. Parang ganun. Okay.
Yeah.
Ngayon pala ako niyan, ah.
So the people, so like my partner, for example, I need to ask him every morning, what do you plan to do for the day? We do that every morning. What are you going to do today? Because just so that I'm ready. We're supposed to meet this person. Okay. So I need to be ready.
Buti na sinabi mo kasi at first nung sinabi mo na if you feel like working, then I work long hours. And then if I feel like, you know, papakinggan ko lang yung katawan ko, I thought of you like, so spontaneous ka lang. And then when you mentioned that, na you need to prepare yourself, psych yourself up. So parang, hindi na yun spontaneous for you. Tama ba?
Hindi. It's more of the resting part. The resting part, I listen to my body.
But
for the others, especially when it involves other humans, I need to prepare.
Okay. This is interesting. I haven't heard about this from others. na nakausap ko na. Kasi sila rin, they follow certain rule, they follow na yung mga pomodoro, yung mga ganun.
It diba? It works for other people, but for me kasi I don't know. I like my organized chaos. I really do. It's okay for me. Yeah. It works for me.
Okay. I can't try that, I think. I say I can't, because if I say chaos, maka-carried away ako eh. So if I let myself na parang wala ka masyadong gagawin, so be spontaneous today. Sa morning mo spontaneous ka, hanggang sa hapon na yan spontaneous na puro lang naglalaro or something. So kailangan meron akong mag-stop ako. Kunwari nagpa-plant ako or nag-repot ako ng umaga, I need to have like a timer na okay, you need to work na kahit na masaya ka pang nagre-replant or repot. Kasi didiretsuhin ko na 'yun, maubos yung oras ko the whole
day.
But
for that, yeah, I have.
You have.
Pag ganyan.
Okay.
Yeah. Oo. Because 'yun nga, I can't stop also. You know, I just recently discovered the joy of not working.
Huh?
Just this year. Yeah, after the burnout. Before that, but I'm happy working. That's my happy. So,
pero
don't judge me. That's my happy.
Okay.
But after the burnout, ko na realize, it's so fun to not work, you know. Just plant, just play with dogs. Enjoy din pala, yeah. I just recently discovered. So, like you, if I don't say na I have to stop planting by 10 a.m., I will have a tendency maghahanap ako ng pwede kong gawin.
Yun nga, oo.
There's nothing else to replant, I'll cut other plants. Propagate.
Propagate ng propagate, tapos bibili ng mga soil, succulents, mga ano ba yan, mga loom soil na yan. So, yun yung nangyayari sa akin.
End up shopping for plant stuff.
Pots or shovel. Yun din. Yeah. Okay. Buti na lang pala. At least now I know that you're human as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, I still would want sana to have this conversation, but I know we have some schedule and it's more than an hour na, no? Wait lang. Hour na ba?
Yeah.
Oo nga. Grabe, sorry. One hour and 30 minutes. Okay. Sige, pero I really appreciate it, LT, that you said yes to this time. But anyways, for people who would like to get in touch with you to get your services or your ideas about stuff about their business, for their business, how can they reach you?
Okay. So, if you want to hire a team, just go to caffeineyourhopepod.com. But for more personal projects, then you can go to my personal website. So that's jessicamadrazan.com. I'm also on social media under Digital Devawen. Yeah. Your digital pitach.
Nice. Are you selling something like a digital product or physical product? Wala.
I've been planning to sell my courses, but I haven't had enough time to create yet. Planning to.
But you have tried that before. This will be the first if ever.
I have. But I just wasn't happy yet. And I really want to improve on it. That's why I stopped.
So that wraps up our show. That's it for now. And thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you'll join me again next time here on Digitally Matters. This has been Ray Baguio, and until next time, ciao!